Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Have you ever missed out on something because you didn't believe it was real or genuine? I'm told that many years ago, on the corner of Park Row and Beekman Street in New York City, Horace Greeley stood on that corner offering $20 gold pieces for $1 each. All day, he kept up loudly announcing his wares, but of the thousands of people that passed him by, most of them paid no attention to him, and others either laughed or scowled at him. At about 15 minutes before 6 o'clock, when he was about to quit, a woman timidly approached him, and after carefully investigating the gold piece by biting it and testing its sound by throwing it down on the pavement, she reluctantly paid him the dollar and pocketed the golden double eagle. 10 minutes later, just as Horace was about to go home, the woman reappeared, and she had two friends with her, and between them they purchased the rest of his stock, worth $160, for $8 in bills. The next morning, and for several mornings thereafter, the street was crowded for blocks with the same woman in the lead, waiting for the vendor of gold coins. But he never appeared again. Unbelief often carries a high price. And that's the focus of our study today from Luke's Gospel, the consequences of unbelief. Our text is Luke chapter 9 and verses 38 to 50. Before we begin our study, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, our Redeemer. We thank you for his precious blood shed on Calvary that washes us from our sin and makes us holy and acceptable in your sight. It is through Christ's sacrifice that we can come into your presence and worship you. And now, Father, as I open your word, I seek the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit for my friend and for myself. Help us to behold wondrous things out of your law, and then to commit ourselves to be doers of your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first half of the book of 2 Kings records many of the exploits of Elisha. During the reign of King Joram of Israel, the Syrian general Ben-Hadad besieged the city of Samaria. During that prolonged siege, the famine became so severe that the people in the city resorted to cannibalism in an attempt just to survive. 2 Kings chapter 6 records the story of two women who agreed to use their own sons as food. So they boiled the one woman's son and ate him. However, the next day, the other woman had hidden her son and refused to give him up. So the first woman petitioned the king for help. Now, instead of acknowledging this situation as God's judgment on his sin and the sin of the people, King Joram blamed Elisha for the siege and for the horrible conditions. In his great anger, he threatened to behead Elisha, but God prevented him from doing it. Instead, Elisha went before the king, and he made an astounding statement. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Then Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria.' So an officer, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, 'Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?' And he said," that's Elisha said, "'in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it.'" The text then goes on to inform us how that night, four lepers discovered that the Syrian army camp was empty. God had caused the Syrians to hear a noise of a great army, and they fled their camp in panic. They left everything behind. So the four lepers went into the camp and they ate their fill of the abandoned food supplies, and then they began carrying away the plunder. After they had done that for a while, they looked at each other and they said, "You know what? What we're doing isn't right. We really need to let the king know what we've discovered." So they went to the porter at the gate and shared their discovery with him, and the porter went and told the king. At first, King Joram thought it was a hoax, just to get the people to leave the safety of the city. So he sent out a few men to find out where the host of Syrians had gone. And they discovered that what the lepers had told them was true. The road was full of garments and weapons that the Syrian army had discarded in their headlong flight. Now, listen to what happened in verses 16 and 17. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So God's word, spoken by Elisha, was fulfilled exactly as God said it would be. You know, that's a very graphic example of the consequences of unbelief. This court official died because he did not believe the word of the Lord. In fact, this account in Scripture most likely happened because of another person's unbelief. You see, Ahab, who was Joram's grandfather, had been commanded by God to put Ben-Hadad to death at an earlier time, but he did not believe God and he refused to obey his command. That's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 20. So Ahab's unbelief led to Joram's struggle with Ben-Hadad. Unbelief is a very serious sin, with very serious consequences. In fact, it was the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and we're still suffering from the consequences of that today. As we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke, we've come to chapter 9 and verses 37 to 50. The setting is immediately following the Transfiguration. It contrasts the power and glory of Jesus with the unbelief of men, even of those who profess to be his disciples, his followers. I've titled our study, "The Consequences of Unbelief." So listen now as I read the text, Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 50. And here is God's word to us. "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, 'Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child.' And lo, a spirit takes him, and he suddenly cries out, and it tears him that he foams again, and bruising him hardly departs from him. And I besought your disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring your son hither.' As he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, 'Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men.' But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And he said to them, 'Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great.' And John answered and said, 'Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he follows not with us.' And Jesus said to him, 'Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us.' In the events recorded in this text, we observe several consequences of unbelief. The first consequence of unbelief is weakened witness. As I said, the setting of this account is the day after Jesus, Peter, John, and James had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. The three disciples had seen an incredible manifestation of Jesus' glory, and they were given a clear command to hear him. Now, as they descended the mountain, a great crowd of people met them. In this crowd was a man with a desperate need. His son was possessed by a demon. He had asked the disciples, that would be the nine who weren't with Jesus on the mountain, to cast the demon out of his son, but they weren't able to do it. Mark's gospel records that the nine were being questioned in a hostile manner by the scribes, who were already skeptical of Jesus' claims. You may recall these religious leaders had previously asked Jesus for a sign, and he refused to give them one. But here, the nine disciples had taken up the challenge, and in the midst of the multitude, they had failed. Why had they failed? It's interesting to me, before Jesus addresses the Father's cries or the Son's need, he addresses the crowd, and specifically the nine disciples. Look at what he says. The New American Standard translates Jesus' words this way, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you?" Now let's unpack Jesus' statement. First, Jesus stated they were faithless or unbelieving. This seems to be addressed to the crowd in general, but it is most likely directed at the 12. After all, they've been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, yet they still fail to believe who he really is. We might think Jesus' words seem a bit harsh in light of the fact that these men had left everything to follow him. But Jesus knew their hearts, and he could see their lack of complete trust in him. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Consequences of Unbelief. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this entire teaching, The Consequences of Unbelief. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request your free copy of this teaching, The Consequences of Unbelief, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study on the consequences of unbelief. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.